Jacqueline Malcolm.
Right now, oh my gosh, my guest right now is the fabulous, I love how they described her, the triple threat diva, international diva, Juanita Ingram.
Hello, hello. Thank you. That's quite the introduction. Thank you.
No, I've got to, I was reading all about her bio and I've read her online. I mean, you can talk about this woman all day long. She has done that much. She is the author of Fabulous, Faithful and Free, the book that she's just written and it's just come out. And she's also the founder of charity, the UK founder of charity Dress for Success, which she's going to be telling us all about. But I was looking at all the pageants she's been in. She's been Mrs. Indiana 2007, Miss World International 2012, Mrs. Great Britain World 2011, Miss Universe UK 2013, Mrs. UK International 2014. She's missed that, missed that. I'm just missed the bus. Oh my gosh. You are amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel really blessed. I really do. Feel really fortunate. And I'm so excited to be back.
Yes. Because you were based for a while here in London.
Yes, almost 5 years I lived here. Fabulous time. Went really? Back kicking and screaming. Yes. They drugged me out of the country. I'm kidding. But my husband's job brought us here, and then it brought us back to the U.S.
Yeah. Where in the U.S. are you based?
Indiana. So right next to Chicago, because no one knows where Indiana is when I say that.
Right.
So Indianapolis, Indiana is where we are right now, for now.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to ask you if you voted for President Trump, but...
No.
Oh.
Of course I didn't. I know you can ask. No, I didn't.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. And we were here during the Obama years, and I'm like, how do we miss the Obama years and we come back to this? It's been traumatic.
Oh, yeah.
It's been very traumatic. It has.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's very trying times that we live in right now. I actually, back in July, launched a show on Facebook Watch that got picked up called Legal Notion. So it's a talk
Brilliant.
Show, and we deal with current events and pop culture, but through a legal lens, because I am a lawyer.
Yes.
So I talk.
That's one of your triple threats.
Yes, and obviously he comes up, he being number 45. I don't even like to say his name. I know that's horrible. I don't mean to disrespect the office of the presidency of the United States. However.
And I mean, because I know I'm meant to be totally, non-biased and just be like, oh, yes, President Donald Trump. But I find it even hard to say president. You know what I mean?
I do. Absolutely.
Name.
I do.
It's really bad.
It's a very challenging time.
Yeah.
I think our second episode in was the topic of how to survive a police stop. And, we have
right.
to talk about it.
How
now.
Do we need to be talking about this
Absolutely.
In this day and age?
Yeah.
I mean, right.
but we have to in order for us to survive. It's an interesting time in America right now. Very
right.
interesting dynamic. And, we've got a long way to go.
Yes, we really have.
Yeah.
Now, what I love about you, you have one story.
Yes.
Which I found in everything I read on Twitter, on Facebook, on your website, mm-hmm. is that you support women.
Yes.
It's like it oozes out of you. You
yeah.
just want to get behind women. Now, looking at a black woman mm-hmm. and who is just so about giving other women platforms, mm-hmm. I think this is to be applauded. So where did this come from? Is this something that you've always had?
It is. I just, I know that no one succeeds alone. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. When I was in law school, my first year, I had a very rough year academically because my undergrad degree, my bachelor's degree is in accounting. So I was
wow.
in a very objective, one plus one always equals two kind of discipline
right, right.
training. And then I went to law school where maybe one plus one equals two, maybe it doesn't.
exactly.
I could argue maybe, exactly. it does, maybe it shouldn't. So it became very subjective.
And why does it? Yeah.
Yeah, And so it was a difficult year making the transition both academically and culturally. I went to an historically black college.
Right.
So in the U.S., we have institutions that are historically black, majority black. And it was like the show A Different World. That was my world. Like Hillman
wow.
was real for me. And so culturally, coming up in an all-black high school, all-black university, and then going to a majority institution, it was a culture shock.
Yes.
The environment was different. And I had a very rough first year. And then I almost decided to drop out of law school. My academic advisor was like, you know, maybe you should go across to the business school, get your MBA, drop out of law school. Maybe being a lawyer is not for you, because I had made a lot of C's my first semester.
Right,
and he was like,
right.
I don't know if you'll ever work for a Fortune 500 company. I don't think a law firm will ever want you. Probably won't work for a judge.
Oh, we're my goodness.
Making
me.
This many C's, you might not pass the bar exam. So you should probably quit and give up. And so in that moment, I remember the color of the carpet because my head was looking down for that long. Like, and you never know where on a walk in life you meet somebody. And there was an attorney, female. Mm. I had an internship that summer, and she pulled me in her office, and she was the head of the legal department for that company. And she was like, look, I think you're great. You're going to be an outstanding attorney. I think you're, and she didn't know me. You know, I don't even know what put it on her heart to say that. I'm like, really? It's day two. How do you know that? But she
Brilliant.
Just felt the need to say something positive. And in that moment, you know, Oprah says never cry at work. So I was like, I'm not going to cry because Oprah said never cry. And you know, what Oprah says is gold. So I'm not going to cry. But in that moment, I realized what she was saying about me, I didn't feel about myself,
right.
that I probably should. And I decided in that moment to become a lawyer, stay in law school. Obviously, I ended up doing everything that he said that I wouldn't do.
You see?
And I did go across the street and get my MBA. I got 2 degrees. I got my law degree and my MBA at the same time.
Ah, brilliant.
Passed with honors. But in that moment, she changed the trajectory of my life. I want to be her for as many people as I possibly can.
That is so fantastic. And that is absolutely what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so fabulous, faithful, yes. and free.
Yes.
Talk to me about that book. And I mean, in particular, why that title? Because faithfulness is something that is becoming such an obscure word.
It is.
It's hardly used anymore.
Yes.
Because what does it really mean? It's like,
yes.
I was in Boots yesterday in the pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, it wasn't Boots, sorry. It was Holland and Barrett. Mm-hmm. And I was buying something. And they said, oh, do you have your loyalty card?
Yes.
And I said, oh, no. And they said, oh, why not? I said, because I'm not loyal. Mm. And they start to laugh. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not, because there's too many other things I want to buy. And I may not want to come to this shop every single time, because you're not always the cheapest. So faithfulness, loyalty, all of that,
mm-hmm.
even in marriages,
yes.
that doesn't mean the same anymore.
It doesn't.
So why have you chosen Fabulous, Faithful, and Free? What is this book about?
I love the book. It is my latest. I have written several, but, you know, it's kind of hard to pick your favorite. Like, it's like picking a favorite child. But if I had to, it would be my favorite, because I think it's all about the journey. And the subtitle is The Transformational Guide to Loving Yourself with Boldness, because I think you can't be faithful to or loyal to anyone else, to any other thing, until you are loyal and faithful to yourself.
Wow.
So it is about the narrative of self. It's about self-identity. It's about being fabulous, because people look at me and they're like, oh, you know, and I love fashion. With the charity that I run, we use fashion to transform and empower women.
You know, I
love fashion with a purpose. I love pageantry with a purpose. You know, so all of these things and fabulousness, but redefining what fabulous means. How can you become fabulous? Defined by your own self.
No, it's
true. Yeah, I think sometimes the narrative and self-identity, understanding who you really are, I think coming into, especially as women, our identity is so important in understanding who we are, what we value, because we will just go through life making decisions that don't really align with what we really line up with in terms of our core value system, what we really identify with, because we haven't taken the time.
That is
to sit
so
down, yeah, and say, what do I really like? And without apology, with boldness. So being faithful to what matters to you. If money matters to you, don't apologize for that. That it's fine to want money.
Right.
The love of money is the root of all evil, but not money in and of itself.
Yeah.
If you value a particular type of person or a particular type of man with a particular type of attributes, don't apologize for that. You know, but you need to sit down and in the book, I love it because there's a workbook. So it's not just reading, it's application.
Ah, brilliant.
So there's a workbook on every component about being faithful. But faithfulness and loyalty starts with, you know, oftentimes, and it's a journey that you take, when people do interesting and mean things to you in your life, you have to take responsibility and accountability and forgive yourself for allowing those people in your life, because something about your energy drew that in.
Right.
And so it's, if you don't take the time to really evaluate, what am I doing? Who am I being around? But more importantly, who am I? What's important to me? How do you know how to filter people in and out of your life if you don't know who you are?
That is so true.
If you don't know what you value.
Would someone please give this woman a platform and a microphone? Oh my gosh. Ta-da. Wow. Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is being lost in our social media culture at the moment, our online culture. I mean, that personal value, what you actually believe in, what you actually stand for, how can we address it? I mean, I know you've written your book.
Yes.
How do we get this book? How do we get this teaching into the hands of more young women who I think are suffering? I want to say they're suffering the most, but are they? I think young boys are really losing their identity as well now.
Boys, young women, mature women, I think people. It has been a process that affects, or an issue that affects everybody at any age, any demographic, because it's, I mean, it's yourself, you know, it's your identity. Obviously they can get the book and buy the book. It's available on Amazon now. But I think the most important thing is being intentional, because what I talk about in the book is being intentional about taking the time to invest in yourself. An investment, people think of investing myself, I need to spend money on myself. Investing in yourself, time is an investment.
Yeah.
Sitting down every day, there's a meditation part of the journal in here in the workbook, and sitting down, you know, the first thing, F is for faithfulness, faithful to who you are. But if you don't take 10, 15 minutes, some of us don't take 10 minutes to stop and think throughout the entire day. We just do.
Oh, yeah, totally. We especially just with social media now.
Yes,
that used to be our meditation time and our thinking time. You know, like you'd wake up in the morning and you used to have that moment, didn't you, where you could just pause and... But now, no, you grab your phone and you're just like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? What do I need to know?
And you know, I'm not, and I know we live in a heavy social media society. I think social media has its purpose and is a good thing for many people. It helps us get connected. It helps us stay informed. But anything that's overdone, you know, can be abused.
It's bad for you,
Yeah, and so I think...
Carrot cake.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, right. You know, carrot cake, you know, a slice.
Yes,
the whole cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if you only... If you don't take, and this is what the book encourages and walks you through the questions, the thoughts to have, 10 minutes a day. Sometimes we don't even take 10 minutes, and you can build the self-care, self-reflection muscle over time. But if you don't take, start out with 5 minutes. Have you stopped to think about, what am I doing today? And more importantly, why? Who am I? When, because we will let other people set the benchmark, especially with social media.
Yeah.
Other people will set the benchmark for what success is for us. Mm. You know, everybody, nobody posts their journey. They don't post the bad things. They only
thank you.
Your social media is your highlight reel. It's your sizzle. It's a sizzle reel of your life.
Yes.
You're not posting your bloopers.
Yes.
Where's your blooper reel? You know, that's the reel. Where's your blooper reel of life?
Oh, I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Just labeling it blooper and then start giving the reality.
Absolutely. And if we do post our blooper reel, then everybody's like, oh my gosh, she's suffering with depression today. No, I'm just having a really bad day, and I know somebody else probably is having a bad moment too.
Exactly.
Can we all just sit down and sing Kumbaya and lift each other out of this bad moment together? But people are afraid to be that transparent.
It's true. Yeah. Well, because now we're labeling everyone with mental health issues.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, maybe it's not mental health. Maybe it's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just that, well, maybe they're just having a really bad day.
Maybe I'm having a week that just, you know...
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And it's okay. And there are weeks and it happens. But I think we're so quick to judge other people. And we're so quick to label so quickly. And that we're afraid to be transparent. And that's okay. You know, because I don't know that we can change that big societal issue. Mm. However, what you can do is at least be transparent with yourself.
Right, exactly.
I think sometimes, you know, if you're not, it's funny because I was reading this book one time and it was talking about, you know, if you people and forgiveness and how you need to really look at the fact that if it's someone that you need to forgive, probably need to forgive yourself a little bit too for allowing it, for not recognizing it, for whatever the case may be.
Right.
But more importantly, looking within yourself to change something about you. We don't want to be self-reflected. You
right.
know, and reflect upon ourselves. We want to project everything and have everything set the norm for us, but we don't take the time to just self-reflect and do a self-inventory. A lot of what's in the book is inventory from fashion, from finance, from faith. And right. So fabulous, because I want women to feel their best, to be their best. Faithful, because I want you to be faithful to who you are, not defined by somebody else, but what's important to you without apology. And free, because I think there are a lot of labels that people try to place on you and put you in a box. I do a lot of stuff. And I get a lot of interesting comments of, well, why is she doing this? Why can't you just be a lawyer? Or like for someone, why can't you just be a wife or just be a mom or just be a lawyer or just be a radio talk show host? Why do you have to do other things? Mm. And people will project their limitations onto you.
Right.
So I want women to be free to be everything that you're called to be. Yeah. Everything that's within you. In various seasons, don't have to be it all at one time.
Exactly.
You know, but there's a season and time for everything, and you want to be free enough. Again, give yourself permission to be everything that you are. And hopefully I want to walk that and set an example and not just say that, but also give women the tools that they need to feel that about themselves.
I love this. But I feel like you're hiding something. And I'll tell you for why.
Okay.
Because, this is going to sound, this is going to sound funny, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Sure.
You're stunningly beautiful. And with all the pageants that you've won, I mean, you were like the first African-American to win these pageants. Mm-hmm. And normally, this is going to sound funny. This is the part that's going to sound funny. Normally, beautiful girls aren't necessarily this internal.
Sure.
They don't reflect internally.
Sure.
They don't need to, because they've got everything given to them just because based on their looks.
Sure.
So it's normally girls who are struggling externally that will then say, find their inner beauty.
Sure, sure.
So clearly you were naturally born very beautiful.
Okay.
So where has this come from? Where has this depth come from? Why did you learn to go internal and find your internal beauty?
Yeah, and I see, I want to dispel that myth too. Because I think that it is a common, not that it's a total myth, because I do think that you commonly find some women that just rely on their looks.
It's not a myth at all.
It's not a myth. But I think in terms of pageantry, with the women that I came across, there were so many women who were doing so many profound things that were like drop dead gorgeous, but at the same time, especially and now let me clarify, in this area that I competed in, because there are different sections of pageantry, so there are the teen, the Miss MISS, and then the Mrs. division. In the Mrs. division that I competed in, everyone was drop dead gorgeous, everyone was beautiful, and then everyone had like 3 degrees and were doctors, lawyers. And, you know, I met this one woman, Mrs. Illinois. She was like a doctor, and in her spare time flew a private plane to bring blankets to children in Africa. Like, I was just like, what the heck? And she was like 6 feet tall and a size 2 and dropped it gorgeous. So I do think that there is a stereotype that works both ways, that if you're pretty, you're not deep. If you're deep, you're not that pretty. So you kind of have to balance out. For me, I always, and that's something I wanted to help young girls with, is to focus more on character. I didn't start doing pageants until I qualified for the Miss division. I just didn't focus on it when I was growing up.
Right.
So maybe that's part of it. I focused more on my character. I focused more on education, on developing who I was as a person. Because sometimes you can get opportunities in life, and if you don't have the character, so your beauty and certain things might get you through the door.
Right.
But your character is what will keep you there.
Stay.
Yes,
exactly.
And so in pageantry even, you know, if you're on stage with 63 women who are all drop dead gorgeous, because, you know, I think I'm cute, you know, I clean up well, I'm all right, you know, but everybody on stage is cute.
Right, exactly. So how do you still stand out?
Well, and how does one win the crown?
Right.
And so how do you decide from 60 some odd women who are all beautiful, 50% of what wins a pageant is interview. So it's about here. So I think sometimes girls go into pageantry and they don't win. They'll place, but they won't win, or they may make or won't even make the top 15, and they wonder why and how. You haven't really developed yourself. I think it is the myth, I think, is that pageantry, you win based purely on looks. It is a beauty contest. Don't get me wrong. That comes into a factor. But that's not the only thing. And the largest part of your score is intellectual.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
that.
For
me, I just... I think intelligence is beauty. I want young girls to believe and know that, you know, pageantry without purpose is pointless. I just don't see the point of you. There, nobody wants you to wear a crown and you can't answer a question about current events and talk about the world that you live in. It's boring.
Yeah, no, very true. Very true.
Only so far the cute is going to carry you.
It's true. I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's brilliant. Okay, now we've got like 2 minutes left before we have to finish. So let's talk very quickly about Dress to Success, because we talked a little bit about before we started the interview and I read about it and I think it's just brilliant. So from your words, why don't you tell us what Dress for Success, the charity, is all about?
Absolutely. Dress for Success is a charity that we help unemployed women transition back into the workplace. We give them interview attire, interview training, and ongoing support. So we help women who have been out of work get back into the workplace. We've got a 67% success rate.
That is fantastic.
We've helped over 2,000 women. We opened our doors 3 years ago. It's a worldwide organization. We're here in London. And we just help empower women through fashion, which is right up my lane. We dress women, though, from the inside out.
Right.
So it starts with the suit, but it's so much more, because when you look better, you do perform better.
Yeah.
And if a woman doesn't have the clothes that she needs in her closet to be successful, she probably needs a lot more. And no one again succeeds in a bubble. We all need, you know, your girlfriends that you call up the phone like, hey girl, I've got an interview. Help me warm up for this interview. Read over my CV. Ask some questions. What if you didn't have that?
Right. Exactly. You know?
So we're the girlfriends that are going to come in and help you to be successful and the ongoing support that they need. Some women, we help with everyone from women who have survived domestic abuse,
right?
Women who have survived human trafficking, homelessness.
Wow, that is amazing.
The demographic is everything from a woman who just graduated from uni and maybe doesn't have the confidence or skill set that she needs to be successful in an interview, all the way from homeless women, human trafficking survivors, to executive women who have been made redundant.
That's
who have
fantastic.
Been out of work for a period of time, and it erodes the confidence level. So we're all about feeding in confidence to women.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, we've got to stop now, and I cannot believe it. I could be talking to you for like another hour easily. Yeah. So instead of giving loads of people loads of different websites to get all this information, how about we just give them yours, and then that way they can get the details on how to get a hold of your book, how to be part of Just for Success, and everything else that you're doing, your not podcast, your TV show that you've just started, you were saying.
Yes.
Where can people watch that?
It's called Legal Notion Talk Show. It's on Facebook Watch. But if you go to my website, you'll find it there as well.
There you
go.
So
my website is IamJuanitaIngram.com. So Juanita is spelled with a J, J-U-A-N-I-T-A, Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M. IamJuanitaIngram.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Juanita, I can't thank you enough. This has gone way too... I'm going to follow your life forever and consider Jabba Talk and Colourful Radio an open door. So please, next time, whatever you're doing in London, make sure you're in touch with us so that we can be a part of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
No, really, thank you. Thank you.
Jacqueline Malcolm. Colour.